Welcome Professor Mary Crook from Sydney University, specialist in citizenship law. And today I would like to welcome her to give some comments about the change to new citizenship laws that the current Turnbull government is proposed to change. Can you give us a little bit details about the citizenship laws and the change?
Sure. I have worked in immigration for many years, so I have learned about citizenship in that context. But the problem with this legislation, they want to change the Australian Citizenship Act to make it a lot harder for many people to become a citizen. I hope the legislation will not pass through the Senate. I think that enough people are now opposing it, but it really does make it a lot harder for people, particularly who come here as refugees. And that upsets me a lot because I think we should be really helping people to settle and to become part of our community as fast as possible. The way that this legislation would make it harder is, first of all, that you would have to wait for 4 years before you could be eligible to apply. Now, I have no great problem with that because in some countries you have to wait a lot longer, but they want everybody to also pass an English language test. For older people in particular, this is very unfair. The standard of the test that they are proposing is very high, a level 6 on the English language standard test, which is pretty much what you need to get into university. Now, I think that is quite ridiculous. I also have great concerns about the power that the minister wants to take to cancel a decision made by a tribunal. When the tribunal says, yes, we should give this person citizenship, the minister wants the ability to come in and go against that ruling. For me, that just gives too much power to a man who already has way too much power anyway. But my other really big concerns with this legislation is that it targets children, and it basically provides that children would no longer be able to get citizenship after being born in Australia and living here for 10 years, which is how it's always been for as long as I can remember. For children, if they stay here after birth, they're eventually accepted as citizens straight away. What they've done is to say that if your parent was an irregular migrant at any stage, the people who come as asylum seekers, if they get recognised as refugees, settled into the community, these laws would operate to make sure that their children were not allowed to automatically become citizens. Now, my problem with that is that those children have got no other country. In most instances, it's very likely that they would be stateless. And we've actually signed a statelessness convention to say that we should do everything to reduce statelessness in the world. But why target these children? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Do you think that this legislation might contradict to the UN Refugee Convention?
Yes, it does, because what it does is it actually puts another penalty on people who have been irregular migrants, entered the country without a visa. Now, under the Refugee Convention, we are not supposed to penalise refugees by reason of their illegal entry into a country. And the reason for that is that very often it's part of being a refugee that you can't use the usual avenues. You can't get a visa to get out of your country. That's why international law recognises that a lot of these people do breach the immigration law when they enter a country. But we recognise them as refugees, and accordingly they should be allowed to stay. So I think putting an extra obstacle in the way of these refugees and essentially pushing them through a quasi-business stream, because that's really what it does, isn't it? If you're asking everybody to speak perfect English and you're not letting the children automatically apply, you're putting a penalty on these people.
Apart from asylum seeker or illegal immigrants that enter Australia illegally, there are also skilled migrants visa as well. They have to pass a lot of high level of English tests, especially IELTS test. And from SBS Punjabi program, they also interview Indian international students, said that she has attended IELTS test for over 20 times and spent a lot of money on that. Apart from that, also put a lot of physical strains and emotional strain to her and led her to miscarriage. And in this case, do you think that it's fair to say so, that's the IELTS test level is too high for migrants?
Well, look, my personal view is that we should put the emphasis on choosing people when they enter the country. And it is okay at that point to ask for English testing according to what the student is coming to do or the work that the person is going to perform when they come here. But I think at the level of citizenship, when we are talking about becoming a full member of the Australian community, it is very unfair and it's discriminatory. We have a very diverse community here, and it is ridiculous to say that you have to speak perfect English to be a proper Australian. It's just not true.
But the immigration minister also claimed that it is part of the Austrian values that everyone has to speak English because everyone lives in Australia.
Well, look, I vigorously disagree, and happily there are a lot of members of parliament who are also disagreeing as well. So, as I said before, I hope that this legislation will not pass.
You also mentioned about roughly 30,000 asylum seekers that enter Australia now and offshore asylum seekers have just won the case against the federal government recently. How about their plights? Where will they end up?
There are about 30,000 people who are physically in Australia now. They are refugees and asylum seekers, and they will have their claims processed. The process here is becoming less and less fair. But the case that was won the other day was people who are still languishing on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea. And they won a damages claim, but it doesn't solve their problem. They're still on Manus Island, and we still don't know what's going to happen to them. Some, we think, will go to America, but by October, when they close that camp, something will have to be done to find these people another place to live. So, Australia is not behaving very well at the moment. So the people who come to Australia without a visa on a boat, they will be sent back if they don't meet the definition of refugee. So when I talked about the 30,000 people in Australia who came by boat over a period of 6 or 7 years, those people, they have to have their refugee claims assessed. And we have left them in the community with no work rights and nothing for years and years. This year, suddenly the minister says, you must all lodge your application by October. And the form that you have to fill in to make this claim is actually, when you put all the pages end to end, is longer than an elephant. And he's not offering them any help to actually fill the forms in. So there are a lot of community agencies around the place, like Refugee Legal in Melbourne, RACS in New South Wales, many private people as well who are working long, long hours to try and help these people to put in their asylum claims. So those people are being allowed to make their claims. If you come by boat now, they won't let you into the country at all. There have been a few boats that have arrived since 2013, and they've all been pushed back to the countries from which they last departed. Yeah, it's a very, very complicated area of law, I've got to say.
From your personal perspective, how should the citizenship law be in Australia?
My view is that we have quite a good citizenship law at the moment, and I don't think we need to make it any tougher. That's my view.
Thank you very much for your time, Professor Mary.
That's all right.